IVM.
Hi, I'm Satyajit.
Hi, I'm Racheta.
Welcome to Paperback by the Open Library Project.
We have as our guest today Mansi Shetty, founder of What Are You Reading Today? In the first half of the episode, we discuss My Life with Bob by Pamela Paul.
In the second half, we also discuss It's Not How Good You Are, It's How Good You Want to Be by Paul Arden, Shape of Ideas by Grant Schneider, The Art of Creative Thinking by Rod Junkins, and The Purple Cow by Seth Godin.
Mansi discusses how books play a huge part in her life, her mood-based book recommendations through What Are You Reading Today, how to break a pattern and do away with the creative block, amongst other things.
Happy listening.
Whenever I travel, I try to pack at least three times as many books as can be expected to read, so as to always have on hand something that fits my mood at a given moment. I would load these books in my backpack, and then unless they were truly disappointing, I would haul them back. Reading was so much a part of any journey that I hated to leave my book of books out, preferring to watch the accumulation of titles in its pages signal a trip well travelled. It meant I had plenty of time on roads, trains and buses, and good reading lamps in my hotels. But Bob usually didn't come with me. As soon as I would get home, I copied the titles and authors into his pages. The more, the better. This marked the end of every voyage, making it complete. The next extract is when Pamela Paul was sitting in a group and she was asked why they read. So not so long ago at a Kidlit book club gathering, one of our members asked a question that stopped us all. "Why do you read?" she asked. She asked this during an animated debate about the relative merits of the book under discussion, a children's book, of course, one that had inspired widely divergent reactions. It may be that we responded to the book so differently, she implied, because we are different things. "I'm serious," she repeated. She happens to be a psychologist, so naturally she pressed us to really think about our answers. "Why do you read?" This was a group of hardcore book people. Most of us were literary agents, English teachers, editors, or authors. We should have known the answer more or less by heart. Yet each of us looked slightly dumbstruck, as if we'd forced to gaze inward and justify our very existence on that spot. It was obvious. Why hadn't anyone thought to ask this question before? We paused to think. Then we went around the table and took turns giving answers. "I read for sheer entertainment. I read to learn. I read to make sense of the world. I read to find out something new. I read to escape. I read because it makes me happy. I read for discovery." For each of us, there seemed to be one core need that drove us to read on. But it was more complicated than that. As the ensuing conversation soon revealed, everyone experiences most of these urges at different moments or during certain periods of our lives, which is why good readers read widely, even if they tend to go deep into one genre or another. And one's primary reason for reading can shift over time, sometimes quite suddenly. A death, a divorce, an empty nest, a health crisis. These kinds of life changes might pivot the central motivation. Not surprisingly, several people at the dinner table offered tiered answers. "I used to read because I was looking for answers, but I reached middle age. I fundamentally read for pure enjoyment," one person explained. "I'm no longer looking for confirmation," another said. "I want to be challenged." When it was my turn, my first answer was, "I read to be transported. It has always been that way. At base, I want to enter a world apart, to take off. Perhaps it's that insecure desire left over from childhood. The wondering what it would be like to be someone else, some other kind of heroine, pursuing adventures more worthy and interesting than my own. Given the chance, I want to go elsewhere in time, place, perspective, whether to present-day Algeria or 1980s Montana or pre-code Bollywood. It's not exactly about escape. It's about experiencing something I would otherwise never have the chance to experience. To know what it's like to be a merchant marine in South Pacific precisely, because I will never be a merchant marine in South Pacific. To experience a Norwegian boyhood in the early 20th century like Roald Dahl's, because I would otherwise never know what it meant to grow up outside the Arctic Circle. To walk miles to get to the nearest dentist, to be beaten by a cane by a cruel headmaster. Book answers that persistent question, what is that really like? By putting you in place of a character unlike yourself, in a situation unlike your own, a book forges a connection with the other. You get to know in some way, some you never would have otherwise known, to live some other life you otherwise will never live.
Thank you, Mansi Shetty. That was an excerpt from the book My Life with Bob by Pamela Paul. We'll be right back after this to discuss the book in further detail. Welcome to Paperback by the Open Library Project. I am your co-host Satyajit, otherwise known as Onion Knight in most food circles. I'm hosting this podcast with my co-founder at the Open Library Project, Racheta Sharma.
Hi guys, my name is Racheta and I'm an ex-banker who gave up my banking profession to follow my passion and run libraries across the world. The Open Library Project is a non-fiction book library service offered to businesses on a subscription basis. We're trying to move away from the run-of-the-mill library concept by setting up rotational and locational curated libraries at co-working spaces, corporates and business incubators. The idea here is to create value, build a knowledge community and encourage a growth mindset amongst our members.
Today we have with us on the show Mansi Shetty. A late bloomer, Mansi started reading way past the Enid Blyton age. While bookworms around her spoke of Nancy Drew and the Famous Five, she knew the likes of Sweet Valley High, Fear Street and Roald Dahl. Disillusioned by how little she knew about books, she gave up reading altogether through her growing up years, only to be introduced to Jeffrey Archer 5 years later. After that, there was no turning back. Mansi is a voracious reader who devours books by the dozen and flits from one to the other almost like she is programmed to do so. A content strategist for a 9-year-old design and digital studio, 1x1 design, amateur blogger, armchair traveler, and a foodie who prefers the vegetarian fare, Mansi would readily retire if she was paid to read. She is also the founder of a mood-based book recommendation site called What Are You Reading Today? Welcome to the show, Mansi.
Thank you.
It's lovely to have you here. And
thank you.
Before we start, like you said, this in the excerpt, you know, there's a reason why everybody reads. So let's start with why do you read?
So the reason why this extract really connected with me is because Pamela Paul's reason to read, right? She says that it's not an escape, but she wants to be in places where she can't be. And that's exactly why I would read as well. And, you know, that's why I would read so diversely and anything and everything that came to my hand. Reason being is that I want to experience that boy in Sierra Leone who was fighting his way through and then, you know, taken by United Nations. I want to be that girl who at the age of 4 can read and make things move with her eyes. And I want to be that guy who, you know, runs like as strong as the wind. And I want to experience all those things. And that's why I read.
Transport and so, to all these places.
Yeah. So, you know, if it would be possible, I would love to be a teleporter. Yeah.
So then Harry Potter is your favorite series.
More like Nightcrawler.
Nightcrawler.
Oh, you know, remember there was this movie called Jumper?
Oh, yeah. He jumps through space and time, right?
Exactly.
Space time.
Yeah. And he can go anywhere he wants. So for me, that Jumper is like my dream come true.
So that's what books basically do for you,
yeah,
right? Takes like you back.
Takes you back, takes you forward, makes you break your pattern of thinking, go into some other place. Like for me, every time I am stuck with something, like, you know, whether be it cracking an idea, whether be it stuck for a solution in everyday life, I'll just pick up a book and I'll read. It just breaks your pattern of thinking and helps you look at a situation differently.
It's very interesting that you say that. You know, there's a video that's doing the round on Facebook of late, which has Bill Gates. He kind of says that, you know, when I'm reading this book, this thing that I'm reading off is kind of like this other thing that I'm reading off in another book, right? How one thing relates to another, how you can find solutions to your life from a book that's completely unrelated, right?
Exactly.
So, he talks about it being a larger picture and it being a part of a puzzle. Yeah. So when you start reading, you find a connection in all the books, and it's basically like filling.
And you know, it's so strange. It's so strange that so I largely read nonfiction. I largely read fiction, but nonfiction was largely introduced to me thanks to design books and creative thinking, because that's what my field is and was. And so, you know, earlier when this last 2 years, I've noticed that I've been reading books which have got the similar topics, but they're treated very differently because they're contextualized to that region, that period, that era.
Right.
Yeah. So some examples would be Margaret Atwood's Handmaid's Tale. And then you read Leela by Prayag Akbar.
Right.
Yeah. You've got Poison of Love by K.R. Meera. And then this just new book that I read yesterday, it's a Rajasthani folktale called Bhanuri by Anukriti Upadhyay. Again, similar concepts, similar things, but treated according to region.
Right.
And I think in, you know, the way our country is going right now, that we are at loggerheads with each other, what is missing, I feel, is empathy.
Right.
You know, the ability to understand where the other person is coming from. And that's where I feel literature grants you that empathy, because you're understanding their stories, and their stories are not different from yours, right? Their stories are similar, but just the context differs.
Right.
So the moment you understand the context of where a person is coming from, you tend to empathize with that person.
Definitely.
I think this book is really special because it shows the bond between a reader and a book.
Exactly.
And, you know, what all a book can do for you.
Yeah.
And
it's
recently,
actually, you know, her journey through books. It's literally how she started off as a child.
Yeah.
And
it's amazing now to document
the,
all that.
Yeah. And now to be the New York Times book editor. I mean, like,
amazing.
It's amazing. I mean she's got my dream job. But
so yeah, just recently I wrote an article for Thrive Global in which I also spoke about books in reference to our podcast series, and about, you know, how it's like a masterclass for yourself in all sorts of fields, because, you know, somewhere it gives you courage, somewhere it gives you motivation, somewhere it gives you
resilience,
you know, resilience.
Yeah,
it's just like different emotions that so you feel like you have this mentor with you all throughout, which every startup needs. So
something that something that someone told me when I was in Germany, and I was traveling with this group of Indians, and you know, I was telling them about my habit, about how I like to read. And one thing they told me is that your human mentor may change over the years,
but your book,
but your book mentor will keep that same information, and it'll still be there the same. And in fact, when you go and read it a second or third or fourth time in life, you'll find that
different,
you're relating completely differently to the same book. And that's what I found, and I have realized this in my life, and it's so wondrous. It's so amazing.
It is. So, you know, I'm scared to reread a couple of books. No, because of, really because of that, because I'm scared to reread it, because I don't want
your perspective.
That perspective to change. I really don't want that perspective to change.
So do you think if a non-reader is recommended this book, it's going to sort of encourage them to start reading books?
I don't think so.
No. So it's based. So who do you think should read this book?
It's, you know, like, I would feel that a reader who feels now is disconnected with books because of the amount of, you know, time goes into work and travel and social commitments and but, you know, still longs to read. So that guy should pick up this book.
So reconnecting, basically.
Reconnecting. Yeah. So someone
who's lost the connection, like you had before you met Jeffrey Archer.
So, like, it would really make you want to read, and it would really say it does not matter what kind of a reader you are. You can read Tinkle and Archie's and not touch a classic all your life and still be a reader.
Right.
So it does not, a genre doesn't define your whether you're a reader or not. And it's about
I guess that's
do.
What you're promoting with What Are You Reading Today as well, because
exactly.
it's all mood-based.
Exactly.
So tell our listeners more about, you know, What Are You Reading Today?
So What Are You Reading Today came from the fact that I was a singular reader. By a singular reader means, I'm from Calcutta, by the way. So in Calcutta, people don't, they discuss books, but they always try to put the intellectual side first.
Okay.
Rather than actually talk about books. So I had a very small, close group of friends who I used to discuss books with. One person went abroad to study. The second person went abroad to study. Third person went abroad. Fourth person went. And the entire crew dispersed.
No, no.
So after that recommendation crew dispersed, my next space to hunt for books was online.
Right.
I saw that everybody is recommending books based on what I read last. Amazon is recommending that.
Right.
Book recommendation engines are recommending that. So now what do you do? Mm. Like, you know, you don't want to read what you have read last, right?
Right.
You don't want to read something similar.
Yeah, you want to...
You want to change, actually.
Yeah, you want to break that pattern of thinking and move to something else.
Yeah.
So I saw there was nothing really suggesting you how to read based on mood. And that's when I decided that, you know, I've read enough books. I know enough people who read books. So let me suggest this to them, that if books make them feel something, can books, you know, change something core in you? Can some books, you know, help you get out of a situation? So that's when I came to know of bibliotherapy.
Right.
Bibliotherapy is recommending books for actually to cure depression, to cure mental illnesses.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So so I knew something like this existed, but I didn't know how to make it more mainstream.
Right.
So that's when What Are You Reading Today came about. Actual readers giving the actual feelings about actual books. And it's not bot-based. It's actually readers who are doing it. So that's what makes it more personal, makes it more reliable, makes it more contextual to an actual reader. So that's what
it's just like a community of readers, which
is
great.
It's a community of readers in a different way. It's basically telling you how you feel about a book.
So I find that very interesting, actually, that so something I've struggled with also. And so the library literally is, the Open Library Project is literally, you know, where we recommend books based on your interests. And what I actually have struggled with personally is that after I've read, like, maybe all the Dan Browns, right?
Yeah.
I don't want to read another Dan Brown or Dan Brown type of book. I want to read something that's completely different and engaging, right?
Yeah.
So that's somewhere where, you know, something like What Are You Reading Today would really be helpful in terms of, say, I want to be inspired. So I want to pick up a book in that genre, right?
So we do have six moods, what do you say? Because we obviously can't cater to every mood. So we get six broad moods. So laugh out loud, be inspired, get away, pep me up, not sure. So it's like not sure, surprise me. It's like, you know, when you're just blah about everything and you just want a book which will blow your mind.
Right.
So you've got all those recommendations there. So it's really interesting in a way that it's structured and yet unstructured.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So none of the titles are actually the book title or the author name. It's why you should pick it up.
Oh, wow.
Oh, that's nice.
That's nice. That will actually make you pick it up according
to
you.
So it's like if you're going through a heartbreak, if you can't crack something, or if you've got 2 hours to waste and your Kindle is gone. So
that's amazing. That's a great alternate way to choose, I think. It would be
it's
maybe
like
more accurate.
Spotify for books.
Yeah.
You could say that.
So tell us a little bit about, before we go to a break, tell us a little bit about why this book really stood out for you. My Life with Bob.
My Life with Bob.
And Bob stands for Book of Books, right?
Yeah, Bob stands for Book of Books. So the most interesting bit is that I didn't really read a summary about this book before I picked it up.
Okay.
It came to me through Bookstagram.
Hmm.
So a lot of Bookstagrammers were talking about it. And Sumaya Books, she is a Bookstagrammer.
Mm-hmm.
And she recommended it, you know, wholeheartedly. And
right.
I was like, okay, fine. I don't want to read her summary. I don't want to read what it did to her. I want to read the book.
Right.
And I went online. I downloaded a copy. And I started reading and I was like, wow. And the entire feeling that it gave me as a reader, it just reconfirmed that, you know, my life isn't a waste.
I like how Bob has a, like, you know, sort of, they've attached a life to it. Like,
yeah.
Like it's
in
a character.
Fact, she's personified the book itself.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
It's like
in
a
my
person.
Life with Bob, Bob is personified as, she talks to Bob like Bob's a person. Right?
Yeah. So
it's fascinating.
Cool. Yeah. So it's actually, you know, how she documents her books. Actually, that led, I was like, why the hell haven't I written that down ever? Like,
it's such a simple practice, right?
Why? It's a very simple practice. And then, you know, actually, when I wrote to Pamela Paul, she just recommended, you know, it's not too late to start a Bob. And you can have it online.
Yeah.
And that's when I opened Google Keep and I started noting it down. And my first book out there was My Life,
My Life with Bob.
Pamela Paul.
Amazing.
The entire thing, why it feels, why this book is so special to me is because it just reaffirmed my faith as a reader.
Okay.
It just told me that my life wasn't a waste. That's
a great book for someone in any sort of crisis, I guess, to reaffirm yourself.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
On that note, we're going to take a short break and we'll be right back to discuss a few more books. Welcome back, guys. We still have with us Mansi Shetty of 1x1 Designs, as well as What Are You Reading Today? Hi, Mansi.
Hi.
So, the next book that we're going on to after My Life with Bob by Pamela Paul is It's Not How Good You Are, It's How Good You Want to Be by Paul Arden. Right. So, tell us a little bit about this book, Mansi.
Okay, so I reread it last night.
Okay, so fresh in your mind.
Fresh in my mind. And Paul Arden was the creative director of Saatchi & Saatchi, and I just came to know last night when I was like reconfirming facts that he passed away in 2008. And but he wrote all of three books in his life, and this book is actually something which is not just meant for somebody in the advertising or creative field. It breaks barriers in terms of, it makes you want to know that, you know, you are setting the benchmark for yourself.
Right.
Yeah.
It's not anybody else in the world who's setting a benchmark for you. It's so, that's why the book says it's not how good you are, it's how good you want to be. Yeah. So whether you want to be good, whether you want to be better, whether you want to be great, you are the person who's setting the benchmark for yourself.
Right.
So then go ahead and break those benchmarks.
Okay.
And then obviously towards the later half of the book, he is talking in particular about advertising, because that's the field that he knows best. So about how to break a layout, about how to think fresh, about how to deal with clients, about how every person in an agency plays a role to be great.
Right.
So that's what this book is about.
I think what really stands out for me in this book is like two things that he's mentioned. I think, talking about talent combined with ambition. So you, like you said, that when you're thinking about setting standards for yourself, why should you be putting any restriction or bar to it? You know, you should think beyond what you're capable of, because that's when you can really achieve it. So that's beautiful. And the other thing I really liked was the Victoria Beckham example that he's given, where she's compared herself to a detergent and been like, I want to be like this detergent. It's called, I believe, Persil.
Who wants to be the detergent?
Victoria Beckham.
Okay.
So the idea was that I want to be a household name.
Okay. Persil Automatic.
Persil Automatic,
okay.
Right. So it's really interesting how, you know, he brought up that fact. And then he brought out positivity through Thomas Edison, where he, you know, said that I've not failed 1,000 times. I've tried 1,000 options and I've not succeeded. And they
10,
didn't
1,000.
Work. So
I
it's
found
not,
out 1,000 ways that,
that
didn't
don't
work.
Right, yeah. So that's positivity. So some
this
beautiful...
This is what like really, really sums the book up.
Yeah. Wow.
Fail again, fail better.
It's like, so one of my favorite quotes is by the poet Beckett. The quote goes like, ever tried, ever failed, no matter. Try again, fail better.
Yeah, so Samuel Beckett. That was Samuel Beckett.
Okay, yeah.
And you know, the most beautiful thing about this book is that, you know,
shouldn't fire a person for being wrong.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Fire the person if he doesn't show initiative.
Right. Yeah. Right.
That's worse than
if
being
there's
wrong.
No dedication.
Yeah.
There is no thinking, right? Mm-hmm. You're
right.
Not taking initiative.
Mm-hmm.
You are not wanting to do things. If you're not wanting to do things, how will you know right from wrong?
Right.
Right.
Right. Maybe in a wrong idea somewhere something great comes out.
Yeah.
You don't know.
You have to put in that, you know, initiative and fail, but that's all right. At
yeah,
least
so,
you've tried.
And the other thing, you know, he gives the importance of doing things.
Mm-hmm.
An idea is just an idea till the time you don't do it.
Yeah.
So go ahead and do it. Even if it doesn't work out, you'll still know
why
it
didn't
work out.
Right.
It'll be
so
a learning
you can
experience.
Think fresher.
Yeah.
So he's against something called idea hoarders.
Oh, yeah.
People who
hold
ideas.
This is like the most ridiculous thing that I've come across in my last 4 or 5 years. People just tell me, oh, I have this great idea, but I can't tell you about it. And I'm like, you know what? That's ridiculous, because you need to start talking about your idea so that you can get feedback on whether it's good or no, right?
Exactly.
You yourself are never going to be the... be all for the market. The markets decide whether the idea is good. First of all, we never decide whether the idea is good. So, anyway.
So, that's the beauty about this book. That, you know, it tells you to move forward, be who you are, be better than who you are, challenge yourself, take initiative, do things. So, it's all about doing rather than thinking and procrastinating.
Yeah.
So, that's what it's not... how good you are, but how good you want to be.
Right.
So it's only if you have that want can you move forward, right?
Mm.
It's
right.
only that you have that ambition that you can move forward.
Right.
Talent means nothing if you don't have ambition.
Yeah.
Right. So it's a beautiful theme you've got through all your books. And I think the next two books also share the same theme.
Yeah.
So let's move ahead.
So the next book that we're going to talk about is The Shape of Ideas by Grant Schneider.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right?
So again, Grant Schneider is somebody who I just came across on Instagram.
Right.
So he goes by the handle Grant Draws.
Hmm.
And I was very, very excited when, you know, he announced last year that his book is coming out,
mm-hmm.
Shape of Ideas. And it's like a whole collection of all his artwork. And when you go through, when you have been an avid follower of his blog and his Instagram page, you know most of the artwork.
Mm-hmm.
But
right.
when it's contextualized,
mm-hmm.
it takes you through a journey.
Yeah. Right?
It each of his artwork is complete in its own self, but he's divided his artwork into various ideas. So now Grant Schneider is, again, a creative person, and he talks about breaking the mold to be able to think differently.
Okay.
So he talks.
So has
about
he like illustrated it and then explained it?
No, okay. No. He hasn't explained anything.
It's all
just illustrated.
Okay.
Oh, wow.
So it's like each panel is a complete story in itself.
Okay.
So that's how beautiful his book is.
So it's a light read, but
it's not a light read.
Oh, it's not a light read.
So being a picture book, I took a month to complete it.
Oh
wow.
Because
wow.
each page is something that, you know, you want to see it and you want to leave it
like a story in itself.
Yeah. And you want to absorb it and then you want to pick up the next page and see it, read it, leave it.
Do you do that often? Like while you're reading, do you take those pauses to sort of reflect? Because I feel that really does help when you take those. In fact, we were talking to Zarina Poonawala in one of our earlier episodes where she talks about, you know, taking those 60 seconds and taking a time out to sort of reflect about your decisions. I feel that really helps in books also when you take that pause and you sort of, you know, let it absorb. Your brain absorbs all of that information. It just works better.
For me, it is only in there in nonfiction. For me, it's only there in nonfiction, not in fiction. Fiction, I'm either crying my eyes out when I'm thinking, or I've just closed the book and gone off to sleep for it to sink in. But with nonfiction, and especially which are visual plus text, I feel that it's important to understand the hidden meaning in that artwork.
Right.
Though it's simple, it's you won't know, you know, the way the leaf has moved or the where he's standing on a balcony that will give the entire story.
No.
So you want to just stare at it for
right.
some time.
Mm.
You just want to not read, but look at it as a piece of work or a piece of art, but a piece of work that talks to you, right?
So who would you recommend this book to?
Again, anybody who wants to break their pattern of thinking.
Okay.
I think somebody...
But is it more in a desired sort of sense?
No. Okay. This is more in a general sort of way.
Okay.
I would feel that anybody and everybody who just needs some inspiration in life should read it.
Okay, great.
At any given point of time. I mean, you can just flip the pages and read one panel and you'll be like, yeah. I feel happier today.
Right.
Okay. I feel better today. I feel that there is idea shaping in my head. Or, you know, he even talks about his creative process, right? Mm. So when I think the book got its name through one of his panels where he's actually talking about the shape of an idea, you know, the different shapes an idea can have, and how does when he's got a creative block, how does he break that creative block? You know, by going for a walk or by changing the position of the way he's working. Mm. And he's doing all of that and he's still not getting through his creative block and, you know, changing, setting himself a routine and all of that. So you can relate to it in a way if you're a creator of any sort.
Right.
Because even then, while we are working, you know, at times we have a bad day in which we just don't feel like doing anything, right?
Yeah.
So I think that's the day when you just pick up his book and you're like, you know, what are the various kinds of things that I can do to get out of this frame of mind?
Right.
And yeah, the answers are there.
That's amazing. That's a great reason to pick up this book.
Exactly.
You know, when you're stuck at work or in life.
So. In life, work, anything. Yeah. So for any kind of mental block, I would recommend this book. For any kind of, even mental block, inspiration, everything. Mm-hmm. This book is just great.
It really means a lot to you. This
book. Because it was my first read of the year, right? Okay. So I read it through New Year, and the funny bit is that it does have a panel on the coming of the new year and ideas and new things. And that was the thing that I was reading during the new year.
Okay.
So I was like, interesting.
Interesting.
Yeah, so you start really positive then.
Yeah, yay,
bring it on.
Bring it on.
The next book that we're moving on to is The Art of Creative Thinking by Rod Junkins. So again, in a similar space...
Is there an art? Tell us. Is there an art to think creatively?
Non-linear.
Non-linear thinking.
Non-linear.
Right.
Just do what the hell you want to do.
Yeah.
Don't follow patterns. Understand the rules, but then go ahead
It's such simple advice.
Make your own shape.
But so difficult to follow, right? Because you're always trained in a certain way, especially professionally.
Yeah, and, but then the thing is that that's good, right?
Yeah.
Because the thing is that until and unless you don't understand the rules, how the hell are you going to
break them? Exactly.
So I would, you know, anybody who says that, you know, you're not thinking innovatively, you're not thinking creatively, you're not thinking this thing, go back to the basics.
Right.
You know, start from the scratch. Do something in the most obvious way possible and then turn it around.
Okay.
So this book also talks about having a role model.
Yeah.
For yourself. So tell us, who is your, like, from a design perspective when you're working, who do you look at as a role model in your field?
Actually, I think that would be my partner.
Okay.
Oh, that's nice.
So, because the thing is that whatever I have learned of design, right, I've learned through him.
Okay.
Whether it be how to draft an email, how to choose typography, how to create a clean layout, or even just how to tackle clients. Everything that I've learned in my field has been thanks to him. So, I think... he epitomizes what I mean by somebody who is like, you know, just knows it all kind of thing.
Yeah.
Okay.
And the beauty of it is that even if he doesn't know it, he says he doesn't know it, and you still feel like, yeah, he knows it. So it's like the thing of, you know, guiding you throughout the way to hone you into the person you are.
That's great to have your own model as your partner.
As your partner.
Yeah, brilliant.
Great. And the last book I think we're talking about today is The Purple Cow by Seth Godin.
Yes.
So Seth Godin, one of my favorite authors. The way he simplifies things and puts things in such clear context that even the most complicated things become simple, you know, after reading his books.
Yeah.
So tell us a little bit about this book, The Purple Cow.
Again, so Purple Cow was one of the books when I picked up, like, initially when we had started our agency and I was wanting to know more about marketing and how to be different and how to break the mold and things like that. And my
partner, which is Anurag, he's a strong believer in saying that don't chase the awards. Mm-hmm. Work on something which is effective for your client.
Right. Okay.
Always. His thing was that work on something which is effective for your client. Because sales is the biggest award that you can get.
Absolutely.
That's true.
And
the biggest validation.
And the biggest validation also. So when I started reading Seth Godin, especially Purple Cow, he spoke about how little things and little changes can make a marketing campaign remarkable, can make your communication remarkable, can make your product remarkable, can make whatever you do remarkable.
Yeah.
And that's what he called the purple cow, right? It is something which is unheard of, unseen of. And you think, the entire reason why I picked up this book was like,
the name, right?
What the hell is a purple cow? Right?
Yeah, absolutely.
And before that, I had read All Marketers Are Liars. And I think that's one of my best books as well by Seth Godin.
Okay.
But things what he said years ago, you know, are still valid till today.
Completely relevant.
Yeah. So, again, like you said, you know, rules, how you break them, etc., etc. Till the time you don't know your basics, you can't really go ahead.
Outside the basics.
Mm-hmm. So for, you know, all these community managers and all of these people who run Facebook pages and social media and things like that, I would recommend this book to them.
Okay.
Reason why? Understand marketing first before you say, you know, you're a marketeer.
Right.
Digital agencies all have tech people on board, all have kids who know how to work the community, know how to work the medium, but do they have a long-term plan? Do they have a long-term strategy? No. Mm-hmm. This book tells you how to build a long-term strategy, how to be remarkable.
Is there any one lesson that you've really like inculcated in your work and you really follow from this book?
I think it's the book in entirety. It's the concept, right? It's the way of thinking.
Right.
Yeah.
So
being different.
Basically. Being different. So that I think is the same across all the four books that we have spoken about now.
Yeah.
That it's all about breaking the pattern of thinking, but it does not, do away with the conventional way of thinking, right?
Yeah.
It's like conventions are there for a reason, right? Understand that, imbibe that. Only then can you break the way of thinking.
Right.
And when people come up with fresh ideas, right, when they don't understand the conventions, don't ignore it. See how you can better it, hone it, keeping the mediums, restrictions in place, I would say, or limitations in place, or understanding, bring your experience and mindset into that fresh idea rather than the other way around.
Right.
Don't let your experience dictate what should be, because your experience is the past. It's not the present.
Present or future.
Right.
Okay.
So take a fresh idea, work on it based on your experience to see what could be the loopholes, and bring that idea up.
Yeah.
That's
a nice thought.
Yeah, so that's what all of these four books really help to do.
Yeah, it's a interesting choice of books, and I think they're books you can reread very often because they're lessons.
Have you reread any of these?
Yeah. Okay, so like I said, I just reread this, and so it's not how good you are, it's how good you want to be is what I reread last night.
Right.
And I still think it's as good as what it was, you know, earlier. Mm-hmm. And The Art of Creative Thinking is a non-linear book. I'm just trying to figure out how many chapters are there. Around, I think, 90 or 120 chapters are there.
Okay.
But there are one or two pages only.
Okay.
Right? And at the end of each chapter, you have a choice.
Okay.
Okay.
If you agree to a statement, you go to one. It's like a multiple choice. If you don't agree to that statement, you go to another chapter.
Oh, wow.
And then you keep building. So you can't read this book from start to finish.
Okay.
Right. You have to it depends keep on the path you choose.
Is exactly.
Wow, that's
lovely.
That's,
so it's something like, you know.
Sounds incredible.
Something like the Netflix movie that just came
Bandersnatch?
Out.
Bandersnatch.
Kind of like it's Bandersnatch. Like a. But for creative books. Thinking.
Yeah.
In the non-fiction. So, I didn't know books like this existed in the non-fiction space.
Bandersnatch of books.
Wow.
Yes.
Bob.
Yes.
Great. So Mansi, thank you so much for being here today. And these books have really, your choice of books, I think, very clear in what we were trying to talk about, which was, you know, how to kind of get into a different sort of mindset when you're stuck in your old ways of thinking.
Yeah.
So fantastic, great conversation.
Thank you.
And we look forward to having you on the show again.
Thank you.
And we hope that all our listeners will go and check out What Are You Reading Today?
Thank you.
That's a really interesting concept, and you must go and check out the books according to your moods.
Great. And a big thank you to all our listeners. You can follow the Open Library Project on LinkedIn, Instagram and Facebook for latest updates on our events. And stay tuned for the next paperback podcast on IVM Podcasts. Happy reading. You can follow IVM Podcasts on Facebook, Instagram and Twitter at IVM Podcasts.